Morning. I love looking at it, everybody, because this is such a safe and pleasant place to be to share my story. And it's about gratitude, but it's about my journey that brought me here, and it's a place where my mind is at these days. And I absolutely love and feel grateful for the acceptance of everybody here, especially when we are imperfect. So I'm going to mostly just be reading because I'm not good like Pastor Wayne and can look up and look at people. So I just want you to know, I know you're all here and I can feel you with me. So just to warn you, I may be all over the place with my share. I hope it's not too hard to follow. Back in September, Cheryl asked me if I would be willing to share my story of gratitude today on our Gratitude Sunday worship service. I was thrilled to be asked and didn't hesitate to say yes. I shared with Pastor Wayne, Tim, Cheryl, and Libby earlier yesterday that I am a procrastinator, and for some reason I seem to do better under pressure. So even with all the notice that I was given, writing this was my Saturday evening. It felt good. It kept me away from the TV, too. I didn't have that on at all. I could feel their prayers, and I've said mine as well. In thinking of my Catholic upbringing, I've made room for my guardian angel, who is always with me as I began to write. Gratitude is an important spiritual discipline for me. When I had just started attending here at PMC, there was a sign-up sheet to join a spiritual disciplines group. Thinking of the term spiritual disciplines gave me the willies. I had no clue what that meant. It sure sounded scary to me, and it certainly didn't sound like any kind of fun. I joined a group anyway. Barbara Schisler was our group facilitator, if that's the right term. That group gave me a connection and a way to feel at home at PMC. My first friendships with folks here were members of my spiritual disciplines group. Joyce Hunsberger and I were both in that group. I'm missing others from our group, including Barbara Schisler, Becky Felton, Wanda Lindsay, Janet Martin, and that was just a few. We have several others as well. Needless to say, I am no longer fearful of this term spiritual discipline. I began coming to PMC in the fall of 2002. I became a member and was baptized a second time at Meadowland, and I think it was 2003 or 2004, I'm not sure. Prior to my coming to PMC, I attended Catholic school for first and second grade at St. David's School in Willow Grove. My parents took us all out of Catholic school after that due to oversized classes in the Catholic school. And back in those days, the girls all sat in the back and the boys all sat in front because they needed to get their education. Anyway, so we all continued our religion classes at CCD classes after Mass on Sundays. I was baptized as an infant, received my sacraments of confirmation, Holy Eucharist, and penance as well. My years at St. David Church and school were the foundation of my spiritual self, as well as what my parents taught me. In fourth grade, my CCD teacher was Sister Amy. She was my first positive in many years at St. David. I loved her. She was kind and patient and a good teacher. Every Sunday, my mother went to 6:30 Mass alone. I think it was the only break she had from all of us kids. And then my father took all of us to Mass, 9 o'clock Mass. And I remember we used to park across the street from the church. The church was on 611 on Eastern Road down in Willow Grove. And my father would always say to all of us, all right, let's hop across the street. So all eight of us would literally hop across Eastern Road. And I'm just thinking what it must have looked like. Anyway. I think as a child, I wasn't very grateful. I envied what others had. I don't know how I missed the lessons on gratitude as a child, or maybe I wasn't paying attention. Seems the things I remembered the most were to give always to others and care for myself last. I didn't know how to say no. I didn't know I was allowed to say no, especially to an adult. That created opportunity for some very painful experiences. I grew up with low self-esteem and feelings of anxiety and insecurity. My father was sick for 2 years before he died of multiple myeloma in October of 1973. I was 16. There were five that were younger than me and two older than me. My mother hadn't worked outside the house in 25 years. Our home was in chaos. After my father died, we all stopped going to church. There were some bad feelings that arose between our family and our parish Monsignor. I'm sure my mother was overwhelmed with all the responsibilities she was left with. It seems our family had a lot of neighborly support while my father was sick, but it seemed that once he died, the rest of the world disappeared, except for my uncle, who gave my mother some bad financial advice. It was unintentional, but wasn't good anyway, which left us pretty much living off of Social Security and a little paycheck my mother was making working in retail. I didn't know how she did it, but amazingly, she got a decent job, paid off the house, and did her best at keeping a little order within the household. I think about those days, and I remember, you know, sadly going through furniture cushions, hoping we could find a few cents so she could buy a can of Chef Boyardee ravioli or something for dinner. So times were really pretty tough. And the fact that the gas was never shut off, the power was never shut off, and that she kept her sanity somehow was amazing. She really, truly is my hero. At some point, when I was in my teens, my mom got involved with a group known as Community of the Christian Spirit. It was a Catholic mass that was said, and it was said by priests, the masses were said by priests that were trying to make a decision on whether they wanted to continue in the priesthood, so they were kind of, I guess, like on a leave of absence. And we met when the weather was bad at a VFW lodge in Southampton, and in nice weather, they had a cleared spot in the woods. Somebody let us use the property. And they had built a rustic wooden altar, and there was a big wooden cross that hung, and we brought lawn chairs and blankets, and that's where we had Mass. And the thing, you know, when we were kids and having to go to Mass on Sundays, Mass was about 45 minutes. But Church in the Woods, we called it, Mass went for an hour to an hour and a half. And the fact that as a teen I was like, yeah, let's go, was pretty amazing. So we would go to Mass, and the sign of peace, I know we've done the sign of peace here, would last probably for a half hour. Everybody would get up and shake hands and hug and, you know, chat a little, and then we'd go about the Mass. It was just an awesome experience. In high school, I joined Young Life, which I was surprised I was allowed to join because it wasn't Catholic, and my mom was, even though we weren't great at attending church at that time, I think she was pretty much like, you know, going to any other church but a Catholic church. But I joined Young Life, and I went to meetings and really enjoyed it. We took a bus trip to a Young Life camp in Colorado. It was a fantastic experience. I got a job at McDonald's, which paid for that trip. I don't think I ever lost my connection with God. I talked to him a lot. I just don't think I listened much. When I was in Young Life, I read the New Testament from beginning to end, and for the first time in my life, and thought about how much I loved Jesus and what he taught. In Catholic school, I was never told to read the Bible. I was familiar with most of the stories I read, but not with the chapter and verse. The only prayers I knew were memorized prayers. Those prayers kind of had no meaning to me, as they were just repeated over and over again. I never felt connected to God when I said those memorized prayers, all except for the Lord's Prayer. During the mess in our home, my younger sisters and brothers were not given much guidance. Our mother was working sometimes two jobs. I was put in a position of authority when Mom wasn't there, and I had no business in that position. I really didn't, and I had no idea what I was doing. I felt resentful, as I'm sure my younger siblings did, with me bossing them. At 21, I became pregnant and gave birth to my son 2 months before my 22nd birthday. The circumstances that I brought my son home to were far from ideal. There was drug and alcohol abuse going on in the house. Jay's father was off in the army. He was physically abusive when he was around. We were a day away from getting married. I backed out. He was a middleweight boxer with an abusive temper and drank and did drugs, and I did not know how I never got involved with drugs and alcohol. See, most of the people I was around, that's what they were doing. But I told him that, you know, it wasn't a fair fight. And I said that, you know, I couldn't live my life worried that something I said would be the thing that would make him think it was okay to hit me. Jay was baptized in the Catholic Church and made the sacraments of penance and Holy Eucharist. He was never confirmed. As my sisters and brothers aged and friendships changed and ended, I came to realize that I had been affected by others' alcoholism. I learned family secrets, you know, those old skeletons in the closet. My father was affected by others' alcoholism, so the isms were passed along from my father to us children. Neither of my parents were alcoholic and rarely had a drink. My two best friends in junior high and high school both had alcoholic fathers. I was around both their fathers when they were drunk. Neither of them were happy drunks, and they both were mean and abusive. Spiritually, I was lost. I had a child to raise on my own, mostly, but I had a caring family who was willing to help. Family members began to find their way. Slowly, peace came to each of us. Through a family member who I would attend Alcoholics Anonymous meetings with, I found the rooms of Al-Anon. Al-Anon is a fellowship of family and friends who have been affected by another's alcoholism. So I'm not an alcoholic, and Al-Anon's not necessarily for alcoholics, though I think there's plenty that do attend that because who would be more affected by an alcoholic than another alcoholic. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I ended up in Al-Anon. I began to work the 12 steps, the same 12 steps that alcoholics work. AA and Al-Anon are spiritual programs, not religious. Attending regular Al-Anon meetings and working the steps got me reconnected with God. Al-Anon is an anonymous fellowship, so though I formed friendships with folks in the program, those friends needed to remain anonymous. There was service within the program and even some community outreach, but I felt God was asking me to open up to other means of spiritual growth. I wanted to find a church community where I could grow spiritually and not have to be anonymous. My program gives me much strength and courage. I will never give that up. This coming January, I'll have 29 years in Al-Anon. When I moved to Blooming Glen in 1996, I attended a community picnic that was posted in the Blooming Glen post office. I didn't know much about the area and thought, so I could meet some people in the community there. It turned out to be mostly a Blooming Glen Mennonite church event. And I felt out of place. Everyone was friendly to an extent. And I have to say, I probably would never have gone to Blooming Glen Church. Not that they were rude or mean, I just, I didn't feel the love. I went to service at Calvary Church with a friend. I went before they got big. I even went to Mass at Sacred Heart in Hilltown and was really turned off when folks started to rush out after Mass. You know, I had forgotten after all the years that it seemed like once communion was said, everybody, not everybody, but most people bolted for the door. There was like a final hymn and, you know, a blessing from the priest, and people were heading out, and I thought, all right, I can't do that. I just thought it was really disrespectful. Then for totally selfish reasons, I went to Faith Baptist Church, not knowing anything about Faith Baptist Church. I saw a sign that said they had Sunday evening services, so I thought, ooh, I can sleep late. I can get up and read the paper, and I can watch Sunday morning on CBS. So I went several times. I even went on Wednesdays. I was invited to a dinner for new folks. I never felt comfortable. And I was in pants. None of the women were in pants. One night I was invited to talk with one of the pastors. In our conversation, we talked about the death penalty, and I said I didn't believe in the death penalty. He quoted something from the Old Testament. I said I didn't agree with what he said. He quoted something else and said if I didn't believe what he told me, I would go to the lake of fire or something along those lines. Anyway, I left the church and didn't go back. When I got my car, I broke down in tears. I really did You know, I'm not a good crier. I don't cry easily, but I did. I broke down and cried. I thought, this is not the God I know. And if I'm wrong, I'll take my chances. The God I know doesn't feel like that to me. I feel like he's here right now with all of us. My sister knew I was looking for a church one day. She was looking online and was reading about the Amish. And the internet then took her to Mennonites somehow. And then she ended up on PMC's webpage. She was reading what PMC had going on for Sunday school. And it sounded like program to her. It sounded like 12-step. And she told me about it. And I sent an email to the church. At that time, Beth and Barbara were the pastors. And I got a return email telling me that I was welcome to come to church. And I did. I came in and I used those doors. And Larry Nolt was usher, and I sat where Joyce is sitting in the back row, and Larry asked me if I could move up a couple of pews because he needed to sit there for some reason. And when worship was over, I was greeted by Lena Huntsberger and Mary Lou Cummings, among many others. I felt at home from the minute I walked in the door. I'm sure it was the Spirit who thought all of the good folks at PMC made me know I was where I was supposed to be. Back in 2006, when that housing market started to fall apart, I was working for Toll Brothers. I lost my job. I had the opportunity to help my mother, who was living at Dock Meadows at the time, with doctor's appointments and such. I was also able to put more time into working my program and getting to more meetings. That is when a program friend began to share a daily gratitude list with me. I read hers every day, and at some point in 2007, I decided that I should begin to write one too, and began to share it with others. I realized that even on my worst day, I could still find something to be grateful for, from simple little things like a smile from a stranger when I'm feeling down, or someone holding the door for me, hand lotion, chapstick, getting a raise, a nice place to live. I've been grateful for my son, who's the best gift God ever gave me. So, you know, circumstances weren't great, but, you know, it was meant to be. I think how it brought me to PMC. I just think, you know, gratitude's an amazing thing, and it's electric, you know? If I'm grateful, I think it shows, and I think then other people see it, and then I think they can find gratitude as well. I see God's hand in so many things I have seen and received. There are bad things that happen, but to be able to see past the bad and to see what good is also around me is a gift. I'm so grateful for eyes that can see that. Pastor Wayne shared an article with Cheryl and me from the SALT Project. It mentioned writing a gratitude list or keeping a gratitude journal. But it also mentioned writing a thank you note of gratitude to someone deserving in your life. It also spoke of getting together with someone and sharing gratitude over a cup of coffee or tea. I was excited to read those suggestions. It would feel good to give those second two options a try. As I continue to do my gratitude list, mostly daily. I think there's some days I miss, but it's a rarity. I recently have been struggling with what I believe is my God, my higher power. What I've decided is that the struggle is an opportunity for growth, my spiritual growth. There seems to be so many ways to feel grateful, so many things that touch others and me. God letting me know he is close. And my list is endless. I really have had a difficult time lately thinking about what I believe and whatnot, but I really do think it's an opportunity for growth. I think that, you know, God's hand is in that. It gives me an opportunity to ask questions. It gives me an opportunity to think about what I know about God and how I do feel his love. Thinking earlier about sharing about Faith Baptist and thinking that I call it the scary church. I just think that you know, that was an opportunity too for me to realize that my higher power loves me, and God's holding me close all the time. I just think for the bad stuff that happens, there's so much good, and even the bad things bring about good stuff. So I think gratitude is just an awesome thing, and I look forward to hearing what other folks have to share about gratitude. So thanks.
Thank you.